Hello, everyone. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. Join us as we talk one-on-one with leading experts who answer life's most compelling questions, because in a world of uncertainty, we need answers right here, right now. America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life.
Smile and friends, feeling tired.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to America Meditating Radio. That was Kristen Hoffman. The title of that track was called The Rose. Kristen and I had the wonderful opportunity to spend a few days together in Santa Barbara, where a group of evolutionary leaders, and if you'd like to know more information, just go to evolutionaryleaders.net. We met to see how we can galvanize more optimism, positivity, and goodness on the planet. And I have to say, it was just great to be around just like-minded people and just, you know, continue to raise the bar of excellence in our lives and in the lives of others. I want to do a shout out because coming up on August 7th to the 9th will be the Summer of Peace online summit, which will be featuring Carolyn Mace, my very good friend. Yours truly, Sister Jenna and Philip will be hosting a lot of these incredible voices, such as Daryl Davis, Kalita Bruhi, William Calibru from the Calibru Foundation, and Bob Thurman, author and father of Uma Thurman, and we're going to have a host of other individuals that are going to be teaching us or showing us how best can we move towards common ground, that we are at a point of entry where it's time for us to raise our own bar of excellence and creativity to see how we can galvanize this one quality of consciousness as people. It's clear we're not all going to be the same. It's not written that way. We're not supposed to all be the same. But I suspect that we're all supposed to walk with our self-respect and self-esteem about us to the point that it doesn't create division, fear, offense to another person's life. And we don't have to lie, deceit, or cheat one another because we're in our dignity. We're in our self-worth as people. And so this is the time we are being called to wake up, to find creative ways and how to best express who we need to be, who we always needed to be. However, the middle of the script has just had us jumbled up all around. But as we get to the tail end of the story, it just feels like the ending of the movie is happily ever after with ourselves, so to speak, where we fixed what had been broken, or we replaced what was missing, or we refined what seemed like there were still some rough edges left in our consciousness. And as we journey, and it's a journey, we go through our ups and our downs, and I think we pick up a lot of things and then we let go of a lot of things, and we're finding that success, that doesn't necessarily always mean a final destination, but to me, I'm learning about success, enlightenment, and joy has to do a lot with how I'm feeling at every moment. That if my moments are filled with just the quality of listening to someone with respect and speaking to another person with love and respect, I'm a successful person. I'm wealthy in spirit. I'm wealthy in spirit if I can hold my dignity, my integrity, my truthfulness, sweetness, a gentle presence, a profound presence on the planet, especially at this time, then it's safe to say that I think we're doing the right thing. And so I think it's an invitation to see that we look at success and creativity in a whole different way, that we look at it from a level more of a character-based quality of success. And if we are able to do that, then I think we can definitely bring more light to a world that's ready for light. It's ready for goodness, thrills, success, fortitude, a feeling of being safe, a sense of fulfilling our desires as well. I think everyone desires to be happy. And no one is born to be miserable or feeling that there's a lack or they're less than. So we're going to have to do that work in ourselves. Don't touch the dial. I'm going to be having a heart-to-heart with Gail MacMeekin. And Gail has got a wonderful book out, The 12 Secrets of Highly Creative Women. And I think there's another one, The Power of Positive Choices and The 12 Secrets of Highly Successful Women. She's authored these books, and I'm looking so forward to our chit-chat together because we need some more, I don't know, just a lot of beauty in the planet. And so before I get Gail on the line, here's Eckhart Tolle, Power of Now. Take a deep breath. Thank you.
as we saw, and as you can verify when you look up into the sky tonight, there's objects out there and there's space. That's basically what the world consists of. And the two dimensions are within you. And humans have become lost in one. So we are here to realize that dimension. It cannot be realized in the future. It cannot be made into an object of a search, because it's here now. The moment you're looking for it, you create a future. Now, what is future? It's a thought form. Apart from that, there is no future except as a thought form. It cannot come except as now. So it's now, the arising of space consciousness or the realization of space consciousness is here now. For example, it happens when you acknowledge not only the words that you hear. Acknowledge simply means pay attention, notice. Just as noticing here, there are two dimensions, just the same as when you look up into the sky at night, you will find there are two dimensions. There are the words here, and there's a silent space or stillness in which the words happen.
Welcome back, everyone. That was The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle, and I hope you enjoyed that pause in the midst of your busy and hectic day, if it's been thus in that form. It brings me a great delight to welcome Gail McMeekin, who is the founder and president of Creative Success, LLC, and the author of several books, including The 12 Secrets of Highly Creative Women, and The Power of Positive Choices, plus The 12 Secrets of Highly Successful Women. Gail helps people to activate their creativity, discover fulfilling work, restore inner peace, and grow their businesses. Her work has been featured in Redbook, The Boston Globe, Health, Investors, Business Daily, The Sunday New York Times, and many more places. Today, we welcome Gail to the show. Welcome, Gail.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Mm-hmm. You know, nowadays there is a lot of emphasis and focus on quote-unquote woman empowerment, women in positions of leadership and success. And I have to tell you that at a broader level for me, I've often felt women were always in a very strong place within themselves. Yes, compared to physical strength, they're not. But when I think about the emotional strength and breadth of a woman, I don't think nothing compares to that. And so I am certain that your books have definitely been adding to that quality of strength and power, and your books are definitely speaking volumes to that. I'd love to start us off with talking about the 12 secrets of highly creative women, and what are a few of the most important secrets that you've been able to identify?
One of the reasons I wrote that book was after watching a PBS special where they talked about creative people, and they were all men except for the typical Georgia O'Keeffe and Martha Graham. And I thought, you know what? Somebody needs to really profile wonderful, nice, successful, creative women. And so I had a wonderful journey interviewing all these fantastic people. But several things really stood out. One actually was that all of them exercised almost without exception, which I thought was fascinating, and that was part of their creative process. And secondly, they had to master what I call the balance between taking care of other people, which we do so well, and self-fulness, not selfishness, that learning how to set boundaries, carve out time for our creative work, value our creative work enough to fight for it and invest in it, made a huge difference in terms of people being able to be successful, whether they had 10 children or no children or elderly parents to take care of or whatever. It was that intention and passion about the work that they were doing that drove them to crash through the barriers and learn how to get rejected and keep going. One of the women I interviewed was Sarah Von Braunick, and Simple Abundance got rejected like 35 times. Oh, and there's a great story about that in the book.
It reminds me of our friend Kathy Hughes, who's the founder of Radio 1 and Radio 1 TV. And Kathy took her proposal to start an urban network to 35 banks that refused her.
Yep.
But it was the 36th bank, and she's now the second richest and most powerful African-American woman in our country. I'd like to talk about something that you raised, which for me has been quite an interesting process, that a woman needs to sometimes declare her boundaries and find that space for her creativity. And there are two parts I look at that because I'm looking for your advice. I've seen where I'm just like in a flow, and I feel that the protection of my energy is naturally creating the boundaries of people outside of me, so they just won't come into my vortex and waste my time. And I've also seen moments where I really need to say no, and I need to lock the door, and I need to tell them that I need that space. But even when I do so, I don't necessarily find myself being as productive or creative as I wish to be. My creativity tends to come to light early in the morning between 4 and 6 in the morning, and that's when I grab my juices. But what would you say to a woman when she just doesn't have the fortune of creating those boundaries? Let's say a mother with 4 children or a husband who is in need or an in-law who just won't get off your back or friends who just keep bugging you or just your own workload. How do you help that woman to just somehow find her own sanity in the midst of all that chaos around her?
It's very challenging. We've been programmed in so many different ways not to do it. And yet women who get their creative work done do it. And part of it is really getting this inner confirmation that the work that you're doing is sacred work and it's important to get it out into the world. And it's also important to speak to what you were talking about earlier in order to feel fulfilled in your life and have the joy in your life that you're wanting to do as well as making contribution. So, and we have people, I call them the ain't it awful crowd or what have you, who dump on our creativity, particularly if we haven't been paid for it yet. And that makes it even harder to set boundaries. So a lot of it is a battle within ourselves and the inner patriarchy. I talk a lot about that in the book. You know, my Angelou used to take a bottle of scotch and go to a hotel. That was how she got away from people.
I love her.
That was extreme. You know, we need to bring in other caretakers. And for women who are dealing with families, I often say, where are your brothers? Call up your brothers. Even if they can't do it, they can help pay for it. So that it's that determination that come hell or high water, I'm going to get this done. I have a client who wrote a book between 11 p.m. and 3 a.m. And she got it done. She only wanted to write one book, fortunately. And everyone else around her, her parents, her husband, and everyone just had to adapt because she had to sleep during the day and then she worked at night before she started in. So it's challenging. And I also think that people who are really our friends and people who we can have mutual relationships with, if we explain it from the heart, they will back off.
Yeah.
Ultimately, they will give us the space, particularly if we're very centered in the fact that we need that space. You know, they can take an Uber to the airport. I mean, it's not going to kill them. And so forth. So there are things, I mean, I just went through things with my elderly parents that were very demanding and so forth, but we, and I have two brothers and got them, one of them was very involved, but the other one I kept calling him up saying, you have to come home again. And so it's very challenging.
It is, and I'll have to speak from even the cultural dynamics. Indians are designed to have like 10 arms. Especially the mothers or the women. And I know that for many of us who were raised here or really are bred here, we see the difference that how did our grandparents do that? How did our mothers do that? That's just not healthy. But then you see that it's this vortex and it somehow it takes care of itself and they don't know anything more than that. To them, they have to be doing that. And I sometimes wonder if I'm in that mode or is it my selfishness or is it something within my being that just says on a health basis, you need to pull back. And when I pull back, I don't feel like anything is there for me to do. It's better I just keep doing, you know? So it's such an interesting process to go through. And one I think we're still in the motion of fixing. We hear a lot about the need to make good or positive choices in our lives. So what is the power of positive choices? And is there an art to making positive choices, especially in these times?
Oh, absolutely. Positive choices are simply things that feed your body, mind, and spirit. They're good for you, as opposed to what I call serenity stealers, and those are terrible bosses, living too far away from where you work, so you have to commute, or not taking care of yourself and not feeling well, because health is certainly a key component. And there is an art, because sometimes we have to be really creative to think of how am I going to make this work, just like you were talking about. And creativity is about making new connections between different concepts, but it's also about experimentation. So I always encourage my clients, let's set up an experiment. And even if you fail at the experiment, we're not going to have any judgment about it, but we're going to learn something about how to modify this plan the next time so it works better. We might have forgotten something. And so it's really giving ourselves permission to stake a claim on the things that we want and subtract the things that we don't want. And if we can't subtract them, see if you can transform them. I'll just use commuting for an example. You know, maybe you can take a bus and write a book, or maybe you can listen to tapes of radio shows like yours or what have you. You can make better use of the time. A radical thing would be move closer to where you were. If it's really taking up a lot of time, that's certainly possible and something to consider. So we need to really be open to honoring what we really need and figuring out how to do that. And, you know, if we have partners and so forth, we have to negotiate that. but it's important to be open to change.
Which is not always easy. You could see what has been happening in the country with change in the last 2 years. It's just like, oh, my God, what do we do here? And creativity is a big call right now, and I understand that creativity is said to be the number one leadership skill required for the 21st century. Do you think we are more creative now as a people, or do you think that we could definitely add more creativity in our lives?
I think technology has allowed us to be creative in a lot of different ways and also access things quickly. We don't have to carry around a typewriter and all these kinds of things. So it's had its benefits, but it's also created a lot of distractions and a lot of isolation and loneliness. And so often creative people need to be around other creative people because they need someone to bounce ideas off of. And while we can do things with Skype and so forth, and that's great, being part of a community and actually making things together and so forth can be really meaningful. I run this retreat every summer up at Fairy Beach in Maine, and we have one coming up in August, and it's called Soul Path Renewal. And getting this group of people together to learn soul collage, which I teach, and spiritual autobiography, which my friend Deborah teaches, is just so powerful. And having women share their stories and rewrite their impressions of themselves and so forth and make discoveries through what I call the magic of soul collage is just so powerful that everybody's there in the same room with their phones off, totally paying attention.
I love that. It's interesting because I don't know about you, but are you finding a great pull within your being to really detox from the technology world and begin to really value human connectivity, which tends to stimulate a different quality of creativity?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm. And particularly because when we partner with people, and I have a whole chapter in my first book about collaboration, and we often need to play for a while. So it's great to be in the same space as much as possible and actually go through that process of playing and experimenting to try to figure out, you know, what we want things to be. For example, my colleague Deborah and I love to put together this workshop, and she lives in Arizona, but she always comes out a week ahead so we can actually play and figure out and change the handouts and come up with new ideas and so forth. So the richness of that co-creativity together is just phenomenal.
Yeah, I believe that. I know that some of us are stuck, though, in unsatisfying work, and some are also staying in very destructive relationships that can drain that precious life energy and the potential where creativity can come from. But we sometimes have people or know people or live with people with really toxic behaviors and attitudes. How can we best handle these situations, and why is it important that we address them? Because sometimes it just feels easier to physically step away, but emotionally we're still connected.
Exactly. These are very challenging situations, and we need to again, take a look at, is there a way to modify it, to change it? Can you get the other person to get on board and in sync with you that you want to have your experience of being together be much more positive, but that it's going to take work to do that. And not everybody's willing to do the work. And actually, a lot of the creative women I interviewed for that first book, you know, had left relationships that were toxic. But some people have to stay with them, and for whatever reason. So it's looking at maybe having in your own room, a separate space where you can protect yourself from the negativity and look at as many things that you can do that are nourishing for you as possible that are outside the confines of that relationship. And that's very challenging because not everybody's willing to change.
Yeah. And the challenge is the opportunity, and perhaps that's why I think a lot of successful women tend to walk with a deep sense of, look, I got here on a lot of sweat and tears. And there was that book, the 12 Secrets of Highly Successful Women. And I'd love if you could share with us maybe some of the top two secrets that you found in common, you know, with a lot of the women that have actually reached a point of success.
Right. One of the things that we really have to get over is this fantasy we have that everyone is going to like us, that if we can't take risks based on what we know to be true or what we believe in and tolerate somebody not liking us, we're going to have a tough time maintaining our creative path and also maintaining our empowerment as a woman. And I don't know how we all got this unconsciously, but it seems to be incredibly true. I hear this all the time. Well, somebody may not like me if I date, you know, a man from a different culture. You love this guy, so what? And you've got to be willing to stand up for what you believe in. So that's clearly one piece that's really important. And one of the other ones is really learning to focus and to understand that if we're going to do this, we can't do this. And what happens to so many women, because we have so many roles at the moment, is that we try to do it all. We cannot do it all. It's impossible. But we can do lots of things well. And we need to be willing to ask for help. I'm always fascinated when men start businesses, even if they're not making any money, they have a bookkeeper or a secretary or somebody, it could be their wife, and or husband. And with women, you know, we hang on as long as we possibly can, not getting help. And we really need to learn to kind of knock that off, because it makes it impossible. If we're doing the business, we can't work on the business, and it makes it impossible if we're not willing to start delegating and passing things on. And we're giving people jobs when we do that, which is great.
Yes,
and
yes,
I have a chapter in there about, you know, creating, how do you build a transformational team of people that love working together, and where it's a win-win for everybody. And being
I'd
a manager
be curious
is
to hear the answer
tricky.
To that. I'd be curious to hear just maybe a snippet of that, because, I mean, just yesterday we had a brainstorm meeting with our staff, and we went to the Watergate, a friend's penthouse, beautiful, I don't know, 5,000-6,000 square feet, you know, feet up there, and we just was a beautiful day in Washington. And the 10 of us, the core people, just sat, you know, had pizza that was, you know, baked with the hands of one of our yogi sisters, and we really went into looking at things. And we had a moment, Gail, that we just paused, and just was just a magical moment. We paused and looked at each other and just said, I really appreciate you. I just appreciate you. Now, I don't know what brought us to this point, because we've had a lot of forces outside that have tried to come in and create stuff who just didn't match the vision or didn't match the motive or the intention.
Right.
And I'm not sure what created that. I don't know if it's my leadership of just saying, if something is wrong, let's talk about it. Don't let it fester in us and or in you, and we don't really know what's that elephant in the room. So I'd love to hear what were some of the points that you wrote in the book that would give people a little bit of an idea of what is the best attitude or way to create a little bit of a better team dynamics.
Well, what you just said is very important, that you're giving people permission to put conflict on the table. So you're understanding that it happens, and you want to make a space for it so it can be resolved, because some leaders have this idea that they're never going to have conflict. That's impossible. You're dealing with human beings. The other thing is that particularly in terms of creative problem solving as a team and as a group, is understanding that you set a tone where it's okay to make a mistake. There's some organizations that want people to be creative, but if they make a mistake, they get fired.
Yes. Or they push you aside and create a really bad name for you.
So leaders have this capacity to set a tone around and set kind of a manifesto for the group, some of which can be co-created with them, about how we're going to treat each other, how we deal with conflict, how we deal with mistakes, how we deal with disputes, how we deal with people who are incompetent or don't have the ability or the willingness to do the job, and how do we as a group decide to handle that. So all of those things, that's one of the great things about being a leader, is we have the potential to do that, and we also have the challenge and the headaches that come with that.
This might be a stereotypical question, and please forgive me if it sounds that way, but we've often heard that women tend to not be as supportive or helpful towards other women as they climb up the ladder, so to speak. You know, sometimes there tends to be jealousy. I'm not saying that men don't have it too, they do, but for some reason it seems like they somehow still collaborate better together, and sometimes women tend to have certain little peculiar issues with one another. I mean, I think what we witnessed with Hillary Clinton was an incredible historical view of a woman who went through so much and stood in her dignity, but nobody spoke about it. Nobody spoke about what she endured and how she held herself together, at least in public, that showed the strength and the value of a woman. But no one ever spoke about that. They spoke about different things. Oh, I don't like her. There's just something about her. She's this, she's that. I just couldn't get it. And I even heard women in leadership positions would even echo the same thing. And I said, what does it matter? Look at how far she's gotten. Look at what she's done. Look at her commitment. It doesn't mean she did everything right. But why aren't we supporting her? And we ended up supporting, many women ended up supporting a man who has gone through quite an interesting story of perhaps not necessarily valuing women at the highest dimension. So can you speak to me about that? I mean, what is that thing in some women that tend to just not be supportive of others?
One of the things that, one of the books that I read for this book is by Sidra Stone, who writes about the inner patriarchy. And a lot of us get from our mothers, historically, it's getting better, this idea of deferring to men, whether it's conscious or unconscious. I mean, I know my mother told me to lose tennis games. Not that that was a problem for me because I wasn't a good tennis player. But anyway, a lot of us got these messages that, you know, we need to placate them and so forth. So some of the women who are pushing other women out or not supporting them have not dealt with their inner patriarchy and whatever they got from their family and all the zillions of messages we all got about our roles as women and what we're really supposed to be doing. And it's very paradoxical because it's like they're doing it, but they don't want anyone else to do it. And so there is this competition among women because so many of them fought so hard to get where they are, and yet there are other personalities where you can see this incredible sisterhood of really trying to help each other and trying to hire women and mentor them and bring them along and so forth. But there's this group of women that are not supportive and are very judgmental. And if you think about Hillary Clinton and what she's accomplished and the boundaries that she had to set to do that and the abuse that she had to deal with from the media and so forth to get where she got to, and to have people, you know, stay very hung up on her relationship with her husband, you know, there's some shadow stuff in there, women being afraid their husbands might have an affair or their husbands have had an affair and they've shut it up and they can't deal with it, so they sort of project it onto her. And so complex dynamics went on there.
It sure did. And I think hopefully as we look back in history, we will be able to engage in a conversation of what it actually looks like to be a woman of strength, a woman of courage. Gail, I have to tell you that I just loved our exchange. Thank you.
Me too. Very exciting to talk about these things.
It is, and it's empowering as well. And I think this is how we're able to galvanize within ourselves the kinds of strength that's actually sitting there, but we just don't feed as much as we can. Are you going on any tours with the book? Are there any events coming up that you would like to share with our audience?
I'm not actually touring on the book, but we do still have some spaces for our Soul Path Renewal retreat, which is in beautiful Saco, Maine, right on the coast. And we're going to be working on transformation using spiritual autobiography and soul collage, as I said. And it's just a wonderful treat for yourself. It's 4 days by the ocean, playing with images and writing and so forth, and helping us be creative and make some new life choices. So if people go to Ferry Beach, which is ferrybeach.org/soulpath, all the information is there. So we would love to have them come to that.
Wonderful. We'll definitely mention that. And again, you know, congratulations on you gradually moving to your Cape Cod home and enjoying the beautiful scenery there. And again, we just thank you for joining us on the air, and lots of success and continued enlightenment.
And the same to you. And thank you so much for bringing all these wonderful transformational messages to all of us.
You're welcome. I've received it. Many, many blessings. Happy summer.
You too. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye. Lovely dialogue, ladies and gentlemen, and how we can actually really restore inner peace and continue to bring our leadership skills at the forefront in a way that it can make a considerable difference to us all. You know, I do wish to invite everyone to really think about that kind of legacy that you're leaving behind, that real legacy that you are up to, the one that you're planning to really leave behind and make a considerable shift, because I know that it's definitely going to carry with in the soul for quite a long time. So remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission. And we really are here to love each other the same. So do take care of yourselves. Be well. Visit us on America Meditate, Twitter and Facebook, America Meditating. So there's a difference of the two, to keep up with all of our activities and programs. And treat yourselves well. Just be kind to yourselves so that it's just easy for you to be kind with others. I know we need that energy more and more in our lives. So take care. Be kind. Be love. And be at peace. I'm going to end today's show with Off the Grid Into the Heart meditation for everyone to just enjoy. And wishing you all lots of light and love and goodness. All right, take care, everyone. I invite you to become aware of the two types of consciousness that reside within the soul. Let us choose the consciousness of light over the darkness of past stories, the history that gets into our way. Let us now remember our connection to the supreme energy, the supreme soul, the being of light. For far too long, we have allowed the external forces to dictate our inner force. And at this time, I choose to get off the grid and step inside the heart, to be myself. I choose to no longer be under the influence of what the world tells me, what my parents have told me, my spouse, friends, or anyone who has been a negative influence in my life. In this meditation, I stand strong in the original, eternal, imperishable worth of the soul. I, the being of light, the soul of power, I step into the heart and I become a being of love, a being of light and goodness.
There's God light and war light and strong like only some show, and there are sad light and mad light and had like we know, but by my light be I spirit, and by my heart be I woman, and by my eyes be I open, and by shock, but no matter how slow that I walk, there are traces, empty spaces, and doors of locks. But by my light be I spirit, and by my heart be I woman, and by the next ones,
And I hope you choose it well. Though you try hard, you may fall prey to the jaded jewel. But by your life, be you spirit, and by your heart, be you women, and by your eyes, be you open, and by your hands, be you whole.
There are waters hidden from us. In the maze we find them still, we'll take you to them. You take your young ones, may they take their own in turn. And by
our lives be we spirit,
oh.
And by by our eyes be we open, and by